Ladies and gentlemen, this is James from Shelf Life. Not to be confused with other shelf lives out there, this particular one is a website dedicated to buy, sell, and cataloging any toy collection you have. Did I describe it pretty much right?
Well, it's a little broader than that. Right now, our primary focus is on getting a lot of the toy catalogs in there, but really what we're looking to do is to build an archive of every collectible ever made, and then attach a next generation marketplace to that functionality to create the ultimate site for collectors.
Cool. Sounds cool. All right, so first thing first, tell us about how this website began.
Sure. Basically, I've been a power collector myself for pretty much my entire life. As a kid, I grew up collecting a lot of the core 80s toy brands, including Transformers, G.I. Joe, Star Wars, He-Man, etc. And then as I got into my teens, the toys kind of took a back seat for a while, and I started to get more into things like collectible skate decks, sneaker kicks, DVDs, CDs, concert posters, etc. And there's really been a collecting aspect to my life pretty much the whole way through. In my 20s, I was running a web design agency here in Toronto called Advoca. And in that agency, we had a wealth of e-commerce information. And one of the things that kept bugging us, that kept coming up in meetings as we were talking about what kind of a startup we wanted to do, was the fact that nobody had really successfully tackled eBay and taken them down. We felt that there was a huge hole in the marketplace to really innovate in the kind of social e-commerce space, given everything that was going on around social over the last couple of years. And so we came up with Shelf Life.
Wow. Now, you mentioned a hole in the e-commerce when it comes to figures. Could you elaborate on that?
Well, one of the things that always bothered me as a collector was that as collectors, we have to travel all over the internet, sometimes to 10, 15, 20 sites a day to do all the things that we want to do. So we go to five or six different fan sites to collect news aggregation, to talk to each other on forums. We go to manufacturer websites to get the latest info from them about what's going on. We go over to eBay to try to track down products and to research products to find prices on things and compare them to prices all over the rest of the web. And then, we're going to places like Wikipedia or some of the smaller fan information sites to try to get the background on the products that we can't find details on anywhere else. And we kept poking us in the ribs that why isn't there just a single place that ties all of this together? Shelf Life is designed to be that place.
Yeah, I hear you. I have to go through like two different forums and, if eBay occasionally here and there, it's just to get one particular figure I want. And so I know how that feels, yeah. And now, as a collector, I want to ask, as far as all the figures you collected before, like Transformers, He-Man, like what's the one line that you remember profoundly, even to this day?
I think it's got to be Transformers Generation 1, Series 1, the series that has the original Optimus Prime, original Megatron, Soundwave, the cassettes, and all of that stuff is basically legendary in my own personal history, and I think it had a huge impact on many other people as well. I mean, with the most recent slate of Transformer movies and TV show properties by Hasbro over the last few years. Now we have a whole nother generation. So we're talking about linking, up to three generations now across that slate of brands, which I think is a testament to the strength of the story and the characters.
So many websites have come and go that specialize in buying and selling toys, such as Crave.com, and they all have gone by the wayside. What is your approach that's unique and different that's going to make you stand out from all those websites that have tried to come before you?
Sure. So, I mean, Crave was actually, I'd call Crave a pretty good site headed in the right direction that didn't quite get there. One of the biggest differences between, us and Crave, and it's interesting, worth pointing out that we actually probably started working on this project before Crave. They went through an agile development process and got a site live very quickly. The downside to that is that their background infrastructure really wasn't very robust. And what I mean by that is that Crave had a listing of products. So they had a if there's a 32 Transformers in Generation 1 Series 1, they knew that those products existed and they knew what their names were, but they didn't know what they contained. The big difference with Shelf Life versus anywhere else is that we track products all the way down to the item level. So, and not only do we track that Optimus Prime had 27 accessories, we track that 6 of those accessories have 3 variants each, and what those variants are, and which other toys those variants came out in.
Wow. Go on.
Yeah, so that level of specificity allows us to create a marketplace unlike anything that's ever been seen. One of the things that eBay will never be able to do is to automatically match buyers and sellers. And the reason for that is that every time somebody goes onto eBay and they post something new for sale, they're essentially creating a completely new record. And the only association between that record and the record of the guy selling the same thing that logged on 5 minutes ago is the fact that they're in the same category. That's the best eBay can do, is to check the semantic search properties and see if two things are similarly named, or check that they're in the same category. With shelf life, if you go into the system and say you want Optimus Prime, but you only want the cab, 2 guns, 4 missiles, and his backpack, we can automatically match you to a seller who has those exact things. And as we get a little further down the road, we'll be able to match you to 3 sellers who combined can provide something that otherwise you cannot get. That level of detail and the ability to basically turn shelf life into essentially a stock market for collectibles is going to be a massive, massive advantage and a huge evolution in the way that we collect.
That is extremely impressive. As a matter of fact, I did not know that. You just stunned me when I said 27 accessories? What? But that's actually really cool, because, like, you know, that attention of detail alone is kind of for example, someone who wants to collect someone like the older G.I. Joes, if you don't know which gun goes to who, you can, like, I have this spare gun lying around. I can just, like, I can put it up there and just, like, hey, I got this spare gun for, like, Cobra Commander V1. Is anybody looking for it? So, go on.
So, I mean, one of the things that we're working on for way down the road is going to be visual search. You know, this is a massive area that a lot of companies are trying to get into, and basically what we're talking about is using the cameras on your phones to identify products and items and then have them match for you. So imagine just taking your iPhone, taking a picture of that gun that you found in the back of the closet, and 2 seconds later having the system tell you whose gun that is.
That's impressive.
That would be incredible, right? So, I mean, there's a number of steps we need to implement before we can get there. First, we need to do our mobile properties, which will be coming up later this summer, early fall, and that'll kickstart with a really killer sightings functionality group. So, the ability to go into a Toys R Us, scan a barcode, enter that there are 14 of that product on the shelf, and then have the system automatically notify everybody that has wanted, quote unquote, that product inside shelf life that lives within a 50-kilometer radius or whatever radius they've set up for their notifications. I mean, that basically invalidates the principles of sightings threads across every forum on the internet.
Yeah, to be honest, it's like for someone like me, I go all around here. I live in San Diego, and usually I spend like so long just like, you know, I spent an entire day going to every Toys R Us, every Target, and every Walmart in here in the city. Just like to look for like just like one or two in particular things, and usually there's some days where I come out with like a bunch of stuff, and then there's some days where I just come out with Buckkiss. So that's actually a really cool thing that you're gonna add in later on.
And the thing is that we recognize that the no matter what we build in the virtual environment, there is, you know, we're not gonna stop collectors from going out and hunting their passions. What we want to do is kind of integrate the two worlds so that you're getting perfect information that you can carry along with you. So if you're at a garage sale, you've got everything you need to make the smart decision and find the hidden treasure. You know, if you're running around to a Target trying to pick up some exclusives, you can figure out if you want to pick up a few extra and flip. You know, all the stuff that you would want to arm yourself so that you're spending the maximum amount of time with enjoying the collectibles themselves, the minimum amount of time driving around wasting your gas money.
All right, so it seems right now you just have a checklist right now of, right now you have just checklist and just like a buying and selling. Are there any other functions you're going to be adding into it, like trading and down the line?
Right, so trading is kind of part and parcel with the ability to automatically match buyers and sellers. So definitely we'll be doing trading, and not only will we be doing trades, the system will be capable of proposing multi-dimensional trades, which means we'll probably put some upper limit on that, let's call it 6 or 8 individuals in a testing environment, and the system will be able to kick out a series of instructions whereby if all the individuals involved sign off on the plan and send what they've got to send to the right people, then a whole bunch of people will swap things in a chain, which will result in everybody getting what they want.
All right. All right, that sounds pretty good. That sounds really good. All right, and I've noticed you have a section that says there's sports. Can you elaborate what it is? Is it going to be for sports memorabilia, sports cards?
Yeah, so there'll be two major categories related to sports. There'll be sports equipment, which will be things like skate decks and baseball bats and gloves and wakeboards and so forth, and snowboards and all that kind of stuff. And then there's going to be sports collectibles or memorabilia, which is more of the autographed sports memorabilia and sporting cards and all of that kind of thing.
Great. Yeah, because I don't have many of those types of things, but like, I kind of like keep a list of like, oh, I have this. I didn't know this was like a collectible.
Right. So, I mean, there's one of the interesting things we do in a lot of our investor meetings is we talk to people about, you know, are you a collector? And a couple hands might go up, but maybe not everybody. And our goal is to get everybody in the room to recognize that in this consumer culture, we're all collectors one way or the other. We say to people, you know, you're not a collector, huh? So how many DVDs do you have at home? 50, 100, maybe 150? Hands go up. How many bottles of wine are you keeping in your cellar? 40, 50, 60? I mean, if you're buying things that you don't need, you just want them, and then you're arranging them in some kind of a collection, you are a collector. You may not self-identify that way, but you'll still get a lot of use out of a system that basically provides a perfect catalog of every product in the categories that you're interested in, allows you to track the value of that catalog on an ongoing basis, and to communicate and interact with other people for the purposes of buying, selling, trading, and sharing information about those products.
Alrighty. Stan?
Ooh, man, I gotta tell you, man, you're hitting us with a lot of great news about like all the upcoming functionality and stuff. It's like, oh man. But there is one other functionality I wanted to ask about is becoming a curator. Now, tell us about becoming a curator.
Sure. So, I mean, when we talk about what the elevator pitch is for shelf life, we're typically talking about eBay plus Wikipedia for collectors. And so the eBay side is the marketplace and all of the great things we're going to be able to do inside of there. And on the Wikipedia side, what we're talking about is that perfect record of every collectible ever made. Well, every collectible is a pretty lofty goal, right? We're talking about maybe millions, maybe tens of millions of products. Now, in reality, you don't to have a successful site, you don't need all 10 million. You probably need something like 4% of that, because the vast majority of sales take place on a very small number of highly popular collectibles. So we focused on things like action figures, like designer vinyl. We're working on all the most popular skate decks and snowboards of the last 10 years and so forth to get in a lot of the kind of the core information. And we'll be doing a mass import of all of the basically DVDs, CDs, movies and books and so forth that will really help us kind of get a leg up on being closer to that goal. But one of the ways that we can build out really fast is to take a page from Wikipedia's model, where they use editors to build out each of their articles. We're going to use curators to take on the responsibility of managing a single catalog at a time. And what a curator does is they go out and they research these collectibles that are the most important to them and that they know the most about. They track down all the information about when it came out, how much it cost, what the parts were, where it was available for sale. And they find some photos that are safe to use for the site. And then, you know, they get a cut of all the action that goes through the catalog on an ongoing basis up to some ceiling. We're calling it 1500 US right now. So you put in, you know, 4, 6, 8 hours of your time building on a catalog, and over the course of using shelf life, you might, you know, make some kind of a wage of $100 to $120 an hour that you get back from the sellers that are operating inside that catalog. So it's a pretty sweet deal.
Yeah, I can tell. Now, sweet deal as it is, and I'm thinking, oh, sorry, I fluffed a little bit there. It's 10 in the morning, but
yeah,
I do want to ask that, as much as it sounds like there's no limitation when it comes to how you define collection. As a collector, I know that there's going to be some kind of, you know, restriction. So is there anything that the upcoming curator should know about, like such as any restriction when it comes to cataloging, such as a type of figures or collections they can input?
Nope. We try to keep that pretty wide open. So I mean, the obviously there are catalogs that we are more interested in getting in the system than others, but because it doesn't take us very long to create the custom code structures based on the groundwork that we've laid inside the system to get a new kind of catalog up and running, the vast majority of collectibles catalogs can be, added by curator request overnight. And so the way it works is we give, if you come on as a curator, we give you one catalog, we give you a couple weeks to get that done. If you turn it in on time and it looks good, then you can take your pick of whatever the next catalog you want to take care of that is not yet claimed inside the site, and you just keep going until you either get bored or you run out of time. And so, I mean, the other thing to keep in mind as a curator is that you're going to obviously, if you're in it for the money, you're going to make more money on things that are popular. So picking obscure catalogs isn't going to work for you. But what we found so far is that, 90% of curators are in it for the passion. They're picking up the catalogs that are most important to them personally, and they're, killing those things really, really fast. So these people have already, we have about 100 curators inside the system right now, and they've donated something like 27,000 product items and the associated products across something like 200 different catalogs.
Now, can a curator work with two different catalogs, such as, okay, one curator wants to work on Transformers and G.I. Joe at the same time?
Yep, absolutely. We have curators that have, I think the top curator in the system right now has something like 17 catalogs across three different major categories. Just they're like myself, power collectors with a huge collection. They happen to have a lot of photos of that collection because maybe they were buying or selling them on eBay and message boards and so forth. And so they kind of have all the tools they need at their disposal to get it done. But even for the casual collector, this can be a great way to get to know a catalog that you're just starting to collect, to do the research you were going to do anyway, and get a bit side benefit out of it in the form of cash.
Cool. So, is there anything else you want to tell the toy collect? No, I'm sorry, not just the toy collectors, but every collectors out there about shelf life.
I mean, I think what we, all we really want is for collectors to come give shelflifex.com a chance to start playing around with the system and get ready, get some inventory in there to get ready for our marketplace launch, which will be first week of May. And once that goes live, I think we're all going to start to really get a better sense of the potential of a site like this.
Cool. So one last question, X bonus question.
Okay.
Now you mentioned that. Now you already mentioned that you're a huge Transformers fan. Now, what do you think of the current Transformers figures? Like for example, let's say Transformers Prime.
Sure. So, I mean, Transformers Prime, I'm assuming you mean the ones that did not come out in the US that we only got here in Canada.
You're talking about the first edition?
Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't get that, but we did recently start getting a Robots in Disguise one, which is a different version of those figures.
Yeah. So, I mean, the RID figures are looking a little weaker than the Prime First Edition figures were.
Tell me about it.
It's not entirely clear why they switched up on some of those molds, but I mean, we still got some cool stuff. Like Zombie Cliffjumper head is still a pretty cool little thing to have in the collection, and the entertainment pack, if you can get a hold of it from your friends in Canada, wink wink, nudge nudge, still has the pretty good Voyager Megatron in Prime. Yeah, I mean, there's some good figures because that's a good show, and it's got great character designers behind it. So I think we're gonna see some more good stuff from that line coming this year.
Yes, there are, I believe in certain city Knockout and Vietcon, aka Sleep Steve, they're already out, and I know they're gonna work on what's his name? Breakdown. There we go. So
Yeah, the Viacon is probably like one of the first army builders I can in recent memory for Transformers, so I'm curious to see how many of those collectors will try to snap up.
yeah, I'm a little bit afraid in that sense. But anyways, James, thank you so much for coming this morning.
Thanks very much for your time, gentlemen, and we'd love to talk to you anytime, so feel free to touch base.
Oh, absolutely. We'll keep in touch.
Okay.
All right, everyone. James from Shelf Life, and I'm gonna go get me some coffee. See you guys.
Bye-bye.
Take care.